Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
And we are back, and I say we're back only because Phil and I, actually the last one was Phil, Alex, and I, but Phil and I, we have not recorded it in a while. Episode 17, YWC Football Talk Podcast. A little football talk before some AEW wrestling, but if you guys are listening after the date, we are recording on Saturday, May the 23rd. So a lot has happened, actually, in the league, even though everything with COVID going on, like, we got a lot to talk about.
That's true. Yeah, we did have a lot to talk about. Schedules, of course, being released, and a couple signings. Still one player out there that still has not been signed. We can talk about that as well. But yeah, there's a good bit to talk about. Yeah, it looks like we're gonna have football, though. It really points towards that. Yeah. But I don't think we're gonna have it with fans. I don't know what you were gonna start off with, but I don't think we're gonna have football this year with fans. If we have fans, it's gonna be very limited, and maybe like a space in between, like a lot of empty seats, but.
Yeah, I feel the same too, but the one big elephant in the room, or not elephant, but like the one big thing I want to address with football is it's looking like college football is getting back because your conference, the SEC, announced that I believe it's June 8th, facilities are allowed to open and players are going to train because the one big thing I've heard on like ESPN programming and other stuff is that college athletes want to play.
Yeah, and I mean, this sounds, I mean, obviously football is my favorite sport, but for the obvious reasons, let's just say football was going on right now, I still think we have it. Like, I don't know. I just can't imagine. It would, like, that's when you really know this. Like, I'm not saying that this isn't serious. Obviously, don't get me wrong. This is a very serious issue that we're facing, the pandemic and everything. But, like, football, like, no football, I think it has to be pretty bad for them just to cancel that. There's just too much money. Too much money to be made, to be honest. It's more greed than anything else. But maybe, I mean, you had an NBA, you know, and MLB and NHL all canceled. So, I don't know. We'll see. But I think we're pretty good. But who knows? An outbreak could change that. So, but
exactly. Or even to. Oh, sorry about that. Go on. Sorry about that. Go on.
No, you're good.
Okay. The one big thing I was going to say, too, and I know they were talking about this yesterday on ESPN with college, is if. What if one player gets it or a whole team outbreaks? Like, then they're in trouble. But at the same time, too, like, it's just, I guess, risk you're going to take. Because I feel like a lot of these states and stuff or conferences, which one was it? It was the SEC that announced they're coming back. But then the ACC, I know, is allowing teams to decide, which I like. Like, where if one team, like a Virginia or Virginia Tech, don't feel like playing, but Clemson's like, hey, we're going to train. Like, it's one of those things where it's a do you thing, but. At the same time, too, I feel like that could have a backlash effect of, like, if one school opens and one school closes, it's going to be, oh, why'd you open? But at the same time, too, I like it just because let the schools do what they want.
Well, at the same time, college is a little different because the school would be liable, whereas, like, you know, like, the NFL teams and stuff, like, you know, they're paying their players. The players are getting played by the, you know, by their organization. So they can – there's risk that they're allowed to take there. That's why I just don't think that you do any fans because, like, I don't know, like, if it's me, like, I just feel like most people, just from what I'm gathering, like, they're not going to try to do any kind of major gathering. And you're talking about football. I mean, I can't imagine you'd make an exclusive and make it, like, only, like, 1,000 to 5,000 fans. So I would just think you'd have no fans in general. So I don't think there's going to be any fans, which is going to be freaking weird.
It'll be weird, but you know what? And I've been saying this to some people. The NFL makes so much money off of television revenues that revenues they will have lost. Like, individual teams will hurt by ticket sales, but the league is going to be getting so much money revenue because not only is there television revenue, fantasy football is another huge money maker for the NFL. Also, going back to television, programs like Sunday Ticket and Red Zone, those are big money makers for the league. So, like, if the NFL, like we saw, free agency went off without a hitch, even though we will talk about it in a minute because there's still one big fish left to sign. The draft was a huge success virtually. Like, this is the first time ever I watched all 3 days, And there was a couple technical stuff, but that was on ESPN's part, not the league's. But just the overall, like, feel of the draft was great, and it went off. And now we have the schedule, too. So, and also, the other thing, too, is there is no international games. So, no London, no Mexico City, which I like. Keep it in the United States. And even, too, with an NFL schedule, the teams aren't traveling, like, for too long. The only time I know about this, and we'll bring it up right now, because the Patriots have it where they have back-to-back LA where they play the Sunday week, I want to say 12 or 13 again. Yeah, week 12 against the Rams, and then the 4 days later they have the Chargers. No, it's actually flip-flop around. They have the Chargers and the Rams in LA. So apart from that, most NFL road trips, it's you're gone for less than 36 hours.
Right, and I mean, I think that they did that. I mean, they did the right thing with that. I mean, I wouldn't do any international stuff. Who knows when that's going to be able to kick back in anyway. I would assume next year, but you don't know. But yeah, it's I feel like there's something you said that I was going to... the revenue part, that's what made me think of something. I think I heard it on the radio, but they said something about... I don't know if it was a suggestion or something they heard or what, like, so I really don't... It could be just, you know, white noise, but I heard something about if they did have no fans that they would use... They would basically sell, like, you know...
Like the spots, fake, like the cutouts and stuff?
What's the word I'm looking for? Like a banner or something with, you know, obviously it'd be high class. You wouldn't be like Joe's Fishmark or something. But, you know, they could sell it to like Coca-Cola or whatever, you know, Pizza Hut, things like that to get a little extra revenue. I mean, not that it's going to make people buy Pizza Hut even more, but.
The draft commercials made me, and watching NFL Network, it makes me want Pizza Hut because like every fifth commercial is for Pizza Hut. But the only other thing I was going to say, too, like to Phil's point, and I've seen this like with certain... as Phil goes, well, I'm going to talk about this. Because certain leagues have done this, I know, in like Korea with, I believe, baseball, and then like with the Bundesliga in Germany, the German Soccer League, they're selling cut... Like, I don't know if they're selling it, but they have fan cutouts in the stadium. So if the NFL was doing that, like if the Patriots did that, where it was like, hey, spend, I don't know, unless it was an outrageous number, $1... I would do it to where there's a cutout of me in Gillette Stadium for a home game and then just do what the Atlanta Falcons do and pump crowd noise in. That's my take on the whole thing with the NFL. Like I was saying, if you, like Phil, you could buy a spot, say for, I don't know, $100 for a game and just have like a cutout of you in the stadium at Gillette Stadium. You'd have fans wanting to do that at every single NFL stadium. And then you pump in crowd noise, like I said before, and then you just pump in the crowd noise like the Atlanta Falcons are notoriously known for.
I mean, that's true. I don't think that's going to happen, but I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a good idea, but
yeah. And also too, with all the new jerseys coming out too, teams are making money off the jersey sales. Like I know if you look at the top 10, like 5 or 6 of them are all Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and also too, I mean, with all this thing, the Rams got like what 500,000 or not, no 500 million, I think it was, to work on their, to finish their stadium. So, from the league, I did hear that. So, which is interesting, but yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm going to show you this because I don't know if you've seen it yet, but I saw a photo tweeted out today of the stadium. I just want to show Phil quickly over our Skype call.
Oh yeah, I did see that. I saw your tweet, I believe. Yeah, so yeah. That stadium's going to be something else. It'd be very nice to end up at WrestleMania there. I don't know yet. We'll see.
That's what I said. Like, I hope, like, Phil and I hope that we're able to be there next year in LA for Mania. But, like, even, too, for football games, like, the screen looks awesome. Just the overall feel of SoFi Stadium with the roof going, like, the clear roof, so it's just sunlight beaming in, looks good. And also, as long as you're not there in the summertime when Southern California can get pretty hot. But that was just right. That. One thing I want to talk about, because I got asked to talk about this by the number one fan of the podcast, shout out to Randy Osga, is Andy Dalta. He wanted me to give my thoughts on the Andy Dalton situation, and upon that, I'm also going to talk about the stupidity of that reported Dak wanting like 40 plus million a season. Like, I like Andy Dalton because I feel like it's going to light a fire under Dak's butt just to be like, okay, I got to perform well because if I don't, they're going to... They won't probably hesitate to put in Dalton if Dak starts to suck. And as for the contract, I want him to win more than one playoff game and also be able to beat a team with a plus 500 record in order to get his money.
Well, look, I mean, these quarterbacks always going for these extreme contracts and stuff, but Dak's not going to get that money, and he knows it. But, I mean, Starhawk, I can't necessarily blame him, but he's not getting that contract. So I hope he doesn't hold out because of it. I think that would be stupid, because Andy Dalton could go in there and manage enough to win games, to where it's like, hey, we got to move on. I wouldn't pay him that much. So I think he'll get smart. They'll find a middle ground and they'll pay him. I wouldn't go any higher than what they have, but that offer. But
and also too, like, they just paid Amari Cooper, they paid Elliott. Like, and there's just some holes with that team, but I think this year is a make or break it for Dak Prescott, to where if we either, like, he's a good quarterback, but when I say make or break it, I think in order for him to get his money, he's going to have to make it far in the playoffs, because it's, you can do whatever in the regular season. You're probably in one of the worst divisions, or probably not probably, but you are in the worst division in the NFL. If he can go out there and somehow win like 12 to 13 games and make it to the playoffs and make it to the championship game, which the last time the Cowboys did that, I think I was 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah, it's been forever.
It's been forever since you've been to the NFC championship game. Never mind a Super Bowl. But the NFC Championship game, he's got a.
McCarthy will make Dak better. I can't imagine. Like, I know McCarthy went face off, and I'm not that big on the hire. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
But at the same time, he's still better than Jason Garrett, and I think he's still gonna. I mean, that if that team has less than 10 wins, just clean house. I mean, there's just no. What are you gonna do at that point? I mean, that team is an easy 10-win team. I mean, obviously, barring injuries and all that other stuff, but Dak should have, like you said, I mean, this is a put-up-or-shut-up year for Dak, but I think he gets his contract before he sets foot on the field. But if he doesn't, I think that's kind of, you know, they wanted to have Andy Dalton to have something, they didn't want to waste the season away, so that's smart by them. But
I'm even looking, too, at their schedule. Like, they open with the Rams, which should be a win for them. Then they open, and then they have their home opener against the Falcons, which could—that's an easy 2-0 start right there. Seattle's a challenge week 3, but I'll say L. Cleveland week 4, they'll win. The Giants week 5. So after week 5, if they're not 4-1 or 3-2, it's gonna look bad. But I can see that there, and then they have Arizona at Washington, at Philadelphia, and then Pittsburgh. It's just one of those things where it's such a double standard with me and the Dallas Cowboys, because it's that team you love to talk about, or I don't love to talk about it, but I hate talking about them. But look at us here. We're conversing about the one team that has the most annoying fan base in the NFL.
And actually, I mean, I'll say this. Looking at their schedule is not easy. There's not, like, I mean, everybody talks about, oh, I think I've heard some things about, like, you know, the Pats have one of the hardest schedules this year, things like that. This schedule is way harder.
And then after,
yeah, just by teams, like, literally, like, now Dallas is a more talented team than a lot of these teams, but, like, I wouldn't be shocked if any of these teams stole a win over Dallas, to be honest. So maybe I'm not, maybe the 10-win thing's not as guaranteed, but Dallas does have the talent to still win 10 games. Like, you got McCarthy, that should bump you up at least 2 wins, but.
The only other games I see on here that are challenging is they have at Minnesota, at Baltimore, San Francisco week 15 in a Sunday night slot, which I don't see getting flexed out. And then,
well, they play at home against Pittsburgh. That's not going to be a walkover. They have at Baltimore.
That at Baltimore game also, too. The Pittsburgh game is like the 4:25 America's Game of the Week slot. But that Baltimore game is a Thursday night standalone game. So remember last year when they went into Chicago and they played horribly and everyone remembered it? They go into Baltimore and get killed. Everyone's going to remember it. You could do great in all the other games. It's when a game, when you suck in primetime, people remember it more, because guess what? There's not other games. Say if it's a 1 o'clock game and you get killed, it's still a big deal, but it gets kind of mixed in with all the other 1 o'clock games. If you have a bad game in primetime, people are going to remember it, because guess what? There's no other games going on, and everyone's eyes are on that one game.
Right, and that, one of the games I'm looking at right now, or you have the Cardinals on Monday. That's Monday Night Football, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So I mean, that's just, I mean, well, at that point we'll know if the car. I mean, we'll at least know if the Cardinals are decent at that point. And I can't imagine they're not. But home on prime time, you're just talking about it. I mean, Dallas definitely has to win that game. So, but it's early. There's a lot that can happen before then. But you know, I'm not going to make any any bowl predictions right now as far as that. But
exactly, and
the schedule's not easy though. I mean, if you look at now, obviously, you know they should beat the Redskins, but it's still a divisional rival. Yeah. And then you have at the Bengals. We won't by that point. We won't know if the Bengals somehow became a playoff team or if the Bengals are still kind of average even with Burrow. So, but yeah, they got the Niners. They have at the Giants, of course. They play Giants twice. They play Eagles twice. They got the Browns. Still early in the year, so that's probably when the Browns will still be good. So, yeah, and like you said, at Seattle, you got the Falcons. Who knows? Week two, I think they should win that one.
Yeah.
And then the Rams. I mean, the Rams could bounce back. They still have the talent to do it. They just can't think of his name right now. But the head coach kind of got figured out after playing us. So
McVay.
But McVay, there you go. But he's a smart coach, and I think he'll bounce back as well with the Rams. So that's not an easy schedule, but. But they have the talent, is what I'm getting at. And then adding McCarthy, keeping your players, your main two guys, Dak's going to play. And then you have Cooper as well. So, and then drafting another stud on the offense. So I don't know why we just broke down the Cowboys season right now, but we did. So there we go.
That's what we're here for. The other thing I want to talk about, too, because we were mentioning it earlier with Colt, well, we mentioned Andy Dalton, which we liked. The other signing, the more I laughed at it at first, but then the more I thought about it, I didn't mind it, is Joe Flacco going to the Jets, because it's not like Denver where there's pressure for him to play or anything. It's, you know what, it's like Brian Hoyer to Jared Stidham, where Flacco's got experience. He obviously has more accolades as a starter than Hoyer, but he can mentor Darnold, and you know what, if Darnold gets hurt again or gets mono, it's a little better going in than I believe David Fales is their other backup. So Joe Flacco's a more reliable name. So where if Darnold does go down, Flacco's not like a worst option in the world to put in.
Yeah, it's not a bad pickup. But yeah. I have to, you said everything that I could say as far as Flacco. But as far as like transitioning into the fact that Newton is still a free agent, either there's some serious questions there and teams don't want to touch him until they see him, because Clowney's still available as well. So there's the two top ones or whatever. But like, I have to think, even though I think he's gone on record saying he would be a backup, I have to think that Newton is not wanting to be a backup.
I have to think it's like a Clowney situation. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no, you're good.
But I feel like it's like a Clowney situation where, you know what? I think Cam wants the money. I think he's trying to get money. I think he's like, oh, hey, I'll be a backup, but I still want, like, $15 million a season. It's not going to work like that. Like, he's going to have to do what Winston did where... And also, too, I love that signing for Winston to go to New Orleans just to learn and be there and not have to worry about doing anything.
Yeah, I do, too. And who knows? Winston could have a, you know, could be a, I mean, could definitely, you know, blossom late, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm lost for words for some reason. But yeah, I mean, I think with Newton, man, like, even if he waits now and doesn't take a job, which obviously I don't even know if there's a backup job out there for him, outside of injuries come preseason. But like injuries in the regular season, it's like you're not gonna pay a guy that's just taking place, like just taking, like it's just a temporary fix for your so you don't waste the season. You know, so I think he would still have to, you know, get pretty much a minimum contract at that point. Maybe a little bit more, but, I mean, you're paying a guy just to fill in, so.
I still think Jacksonville may be his best bet, just because we don't know with Minshew, where if you send Newton there on a one-year deal where it's like, hey, you go to Jacksonville, you're still in a warmer climate, or even to Atlanta, because I know they still have Matt Schaub, but I'd rather have Cam Newton as my backup quarterback than Matt Schaub. Those are just two names I thought off the top of my head.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point, but I think with Jacksonville, I don't think they want that unless that's their plan, and Minshew's clearly their guy, and so I don't think they want any kind of distraction or anything like that with him. So if Minshew started playing bad or got hurt, then yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't reach out to Newton at that point. Because
there's no other teams out there that need a backup.
I don't really get the Jags anyway. Let me just say that for a while. I think we might have talked, like, Minshew's already proven that he can't, like, he doesn't have everything. Like, he had a little spurt, and, you know, he had a little, you know, Minshew mania, but then it kind of fizzled out, and that's why they went back to, was it Foles? Did they go to Foles? Yeah, they went back to Foles, and it's like, if you already went back to Foles, then they didn't draft any, that I know of. Did they draft a quarterback in the draft at all?
This year, I don't think so. I know they drafted,
noticeable anyway.
Henderson out of Florida, and I don't remember who they got with number 20, but I think they took two defenders.
Yeah, well, I know they didn't draft a quarterback in the first round. I know that.
And they got a receiver in the second round, the guy that I was talking about, LaVisca Chenault, out of Colorado.
And maybe the Jags are trying to tank to get Lawrence. I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, you can't rely on that. Like, you literally can't. I mean, it happened to work out for the Dolphins, even though they won some games they shouldn't have won. But they still got it.
They also got lucky with Tua getting hurt.
That's also true.
Because if Tua didn't get hurt, he'd be a Bengal right now, and Burrow probably would be in Miami.
Yeah, I think for sure. Yeah, so, I mean, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see where Noonan ends up. I don't know. There's a big question. Yeah. I really think some people have solid backups, too, so they're not going to even, you know, if their starter does go down, they're probably going to roll with their backup, and maybe they would reach out to get him to back up them, but then as soon as their guy's back, they're going to cut him. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I think it's the main thing, like you said, well, with money, with Clowney, but it's also that teams can't see them, so they're definitely not going to take a reach when they can't, you know, they haven't been able to really see him. Maybe we'll see a spurt when they can actually meet with him. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think there's no spot. There's not very many spots for him, like you said.
Not really. The next thing I want to talk about quickly is, have you been following the stuff with the Rooney Rule at all? That, like, teams are...
Really. I know there's always issues every year.
Yeah. But now the NFL is trying to step in and say, like, hey, if you sign a black head coach or a black general manager or a general manager or coach of color, you're going to get draft picks. Like, the fact that you got to throw that out there, it's 2020, and there is only three coaches in the NFL who are African-American, one Hispanic coach, and one general manager who's black, African-American, and Chris Greer. All the other ones are Anthony Lynn, Brian Flores, and Mike Tomlin, and Ron Rivera, obviously. But the fact that in this day and age, you gotta, like, hire unconventionally, you're gonna get a good draft pick. Like, why can't you just hire?
I mean, I don't know if that's what you're saying, but, like, I don't think that's the way to go. I think they just need to really, like, hey, make sure these guys are getting interviews, and then it's like, you know, hey, like, okay, communication, let them, you know, why are these guys not getting hired? Tell me why you picked the other guy, why, things like that. But
yeah, like,
they just got to keep communicating. I mean, I clearly they're, you know, the Rooney Rule's just to protect their behind, pretty much.
That was the point I was trying to get at, where it was the whole, like, the laughable thing about it, where it was like, you have to have incentive to hire a coach. Like, you shouldn't be hiring a coach just because of the, like, oh yeah, we interviewed this guy just to cover our asses. No. Honestly, if you're an NFL executive, don't hire just because of the color of someone's skin. Hire because of football IQ and football talent. If that was the way, Eric Bieniemy, who's the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, would have had a job 2 years ago as a head coach.
Like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And, like, also, too, like, how everyone was saying, like, oh, the Browns just got Kevin Stefanski because, oh, they needed a coach and Stefanski's available. If they had waited, they probably would have got Bieniemy, no problem. That's what I was trying to say. I wasn't trying to go at the angle, like, at a different angle. I was just trying to go at the angle of the fact that you need to throw in incentives to want to hire. Like, oh, hey, if you hire an African-American coach, you're going to get a third round pick. Like, no. Like, they got to be logical, because, as we all know, the NFL owners group, this is the one point I keep harping on as well. I don't think we'll see real change with all that stuff until you see an owner. I know there's the cons, obviously, and it ties in today. This is before AEW. Cons own the Jaguars, and the cons are Tony Khan, very high up with All Elite Wrestling. They're the only owners in the NFL who aren't white. So until you see an owner or an ownership group that is mainly African American, you're not gonna see a lot of these a lot of the Rooney rules, like, affected.
Right.
Yeah, like, that's all I just wanted to say, just get it off my chest. But like we were saying before, Phil, so, like how you said, the NFL schedule's out. Let's make everyone hate this a little bit. Let's talk a little bit of a Patriots schedule, shall we?
Let's do it. And let me just preface this by, I kind of said this with Dallas. So much can change, and I was even telling Alex off camera the other day, like, you know, it's hard to predict. Like, I don't want to make any type of actually outside of the Pats. You know, I'll predict ours because that's what we do. But you know, outside of that, it's like, it's just so hard to predict, like, until we get a little closer, you know, get to the preseason and kind of, you know, maybe like right before the season starts, like really, you know, you can make a prediction. But things change so much throughout the year too. So most of the time when you make predictions, they're going to be wrong. Generally, they can be right. Like, the overall consensus can be right. But.
So starting off, they have Miami at home week one, at Seattle in Sunday Night Football week two, and then home to the Raiders, at the Chiefs, and then home to the Broncos. And then this is the earliest Patriots bye in quite a while, week six bye. Usually it's week eight or week nine, which I like because it's a break in the season, but we'll see. And then after the bye, very tough game against San Francisco, at Buffalo, at the Jets, home to Baltimore, at Houston, home to Arizona, then the LA back-to-back, and then at Miami, and then to finish it off, home to Buffalo and New York. Even though people are calling the schedule tough, I like the way that it's like the way that everything's spread out. It's not like last year where it's like where they had the bye and then they had at Philadelphia, Dallas, at Houston, home to Kansas City. Like the schedule is spread out to where it's, hey, you like how, for example, let's look at week 1-3. You're going to have Miami, who's an okay opponent, but then you have a tougher opponent in Seattle, and then you have an okay opponent in Vegas, and then you have the Chiefs. So where it's spread out to where it's like, You have a good opponent, but then you have a great opponent, where it's not like you're running a gauntlet. That's the one thing I don't see with the schedule.
Right, I think it's more difficult than last year's. So, you know, there's that aspect of, you know, obviously, you know, if you think we got worse, which I mean, obviously, without Brady, we did in some aspect at least, and then we did lose some defensive players, but I think we did enough to make that okay. I think we're going to be fine defensively. Call me Homer or whatever. I don't care. I think we'll be fine defensively. I'm just waiting. You know, I think Stidham's the big question there. But yeah, as far as the schedule, I mean, like I said, I fully expected going in, like before the schedule got released, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to look at this and it's going to be hard to find 10 wins. But it wasn't. It was like actually really easy to find 10 wins. I can't imagine if Stidham would have to be bad for us to go 8-8 or worse. Like, he has to be bad. And I don't think he's bad. I think he's at least average. So I think, you know, that you're looking at 9-7, 10-6 then. And if he's better than that, you're looking at even better. So, because I think our defense is going to keep us in games, even though I know they kind of fizzled out towards the end of last year. But I am being optimistic about this. But I do think they're going to be a lot more humble this year going in. And it'll be a better unit because of it, even though they lost some players. But they also gained some players as well. So, I mean, like you said, tough. I mean, the games that stick out to me, Baltimore on Sunday night, I mean, that's at home, but still, who knows what the Chargers will be. So, you know, being in L.A., back-to-back games, you know, one of them being on a Thursday could be a rough stretch. Then having to go at Miami, I think that's going to be the big thing, you know, back-to-back L.A. games and then having to go at Miami. So that game is one of the games I put on as a loss. I just assume they'll probably sneak one there, especially if Tua's playing well. But yeah, I mean, I do like that we're playing Buffalo and then New York, because I think New York's the worst team in the division, clearly to me. But so I think playing New York in Week 17 that could matter in the end would be, you know, it's better than playing Miami at the end. I mean, it's at home. We lost at home to Miami last year, so that doesn't really mean anything. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of another. I mean, the San Francisco game, like you said, coming off the bye week, I do like that we're playing them coming off the bye week, because that's going to be a big game. Jimmy G's first game in New England, I think, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
First game back in Gillette Stadium.
First game against New England. That's going to be an interesting one as well. So at home, Bill knows Jimmy. I think that's one of those games we could probably surprise some people, even though we shouldn't win that game. Like, looking at it now, we should not. By that game, we might, you know, who knows what we're going to know. Looking at it right here, like I said, predictions, they literally can change by the hour. Sometimes when you look at them and think of different aspects and stuff. But looking at it, I think it's, you know, we're probably going to be around, what is it, like 3-2, something like that? Actually on the low end. Really, we could be 4-1, but it's giving us a loss to Kansas City and Seattle, so.
Yeah. Kansas City.
And I don't say Seattle because it's at Seattle. That's the only reason I say that.
Exactly, too. It's a different experience when you go to Seattle.
And primetime, it seems like Seattle, things just go their way. I don't know why.
Yeah, like it's like you said, it's primetime, Sunday night, Seattle, like they always go their way. I feel like, too, with New England this year, I think it's going to be a lot of those, like, close games that either the offense is going to do just enough, or the defense is going to bail us out. Like, the other team's pressing, like, making a drive down the field, then it comes down to, like, 4th and, like, 15 with, like, 30 seconds left, and then the defense, like, because that's the one thing I want to harp on. New England, I think, still has one of the best secondaries in the NFL.
They said they do. Yeah.
They do. No, like, yeah, like, reigning defensive player of the year. Gamecock, Stephon Gilmore.
Stephon Gilmore, yeah. Patrick Chung just got re-signed. He's kind of hit or miss, I'll admit that. But McCourty, you know, we kept all those pieces. And as much as people can get mad all they want about me saying that Kyle Van Noy is replaceable, we literally had one of him before. I mean, Kyle Van Noy had a great year. I'm not saying he earned his contract, but I'm just saying that we've replaced players like him before. So it's, I don't think that's as big a loss as people are making it out to be.
Exactly. And even to
Without Hightower, that defense just isn't the same. Hightower gets hurt, you can wrap it up. We're losing the division.
Yeah,
I'll say that right now. That's just too big of a teams. I've seen it too much to not say that.
Yeah, no, exactly. But also, too, like, I expect a breakout year from Chase Winovich. The line is my only concern, just because you don't, like you said, like, the line, I'm trying to, there's not a real star there. But besides that, like, the defense is still pretty good. But you are right, though, in the sense of where, like, when I, like, even the bailout thing. But it's just going to be interesting this year. But, like, you're right, Stidham's going to have to be horrible. Like, if Stidham can play average, this is a 9-7 football team.
Yeah, and you're talking about the line, like, yeah, we do need pass rushers, but giving up the run, like, is, like, I know that people would be like, giving up the run doesn't lose your game. So, like, well, yeah, it does, because you lost Tennessee, but we couldn't freaking score. Like, them running all the time still only gave them a 1-point lead for the longest. So it's like, I think you can, you know, it's okay if our run defense isn't the best, but, that's just something I was thinking of, but.
Well, that same running game embarrassed the Baltimore Ravens. So it's like, and their team was supposed to be this, like, world beaters. They were going to go to the Super Bowl and win it all, Lamar Jackson MVP season. But like Phil called it, always remember this, Baltimore was rusty.
Yeah, and it's not only that. Some teams are okay. They need the bye. They were just not a team that needed it. They were on a hot streak, and the streak got killed by them having rest players and then taking a week off. Tennessee was a hot team. Like, if they had they played another team and not a hot team, maybe they win, and then at that point, you know, they're good to go. But they just had the worst matchup. Like, had they played us, then, you know, which they wouldn't have, you know, it would have been a different matchup. But still, like, had they played someone like us or something like that they could have, you know, gotten a win against. But
there is one thing I want to look up quickly, and that is the Buffalo Bills schedule. Because the more I'm thinking about it this year, where everyone's going, oh, Buffalo's this great team, they're going to, like, win it all. Like, when I say win it all, I mean the division. Like, let's just take a look. Like, they have the Jets, the Dolphins, the Rams, the Raiders, the Titans, the Chiefs. Okay, that's a very tough stretch right there, back-to-back. I mean, at Tennessee and then Kansas City.
And even at New York to end that, and then play us, then play Seattle. Wow. Yeah, good luck. But if you can tell me that the Buffalo is going to lead the division after like the first half of that, the first 10 weeks, like, I don't see where you, and then it's not easier after that.
They have another tough one, too, because they have back-to-back, back-to-backs in prime time. Week 13 and 14 at San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, and then Denver Broncos, Patriots, Dolphins. Who's to say this isn't that Week 16 game? I think is going to decide the division. Unless the Patriots are horrible, that game I think decides the division.
Yeah, it could. I mean, it definitely could. I mean, just glancing at this, I mean, I'm not like and being more optimistic, just for the, so I'm not, don't sound biased. I would say they have like 4 losses before the bye week, maybe 5, but I'll give them 4. Let's just say we'll just give them 4, and then 5, 6. Yeah, they're probably like something in 6. So I'm not doing my math right now, but yeah, I can't do it. What is it, like? I guess 8-6 before that game. So New England could easily be right around there. So yeah, it could definitely be.
Man, that,
yeah, it could be for the division. Yeah, it could. Even though their schedule, like, looking at their schedule, it's like, man, it's gonna be, it could be close. Miami just, and I, who knows with Miami? Like, week 2, still, like, if Miami's rolling, I mean, Miami could, you know, be beat them in week two, and then, you know, it's like, then that's another loss. I didn't even give them a loss to Miami, so, you know, the Raiders, they have to go at in Las Vegas. Who knows if the Raiders decide to turn it on in their new stadium? So, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot. The Bills don't have an easy schedule either.
Like, even to, like, that stretch right there where it's at Tennessee, Kansas City, at the Jets, Patriots, Seahawks, Cardinals.
Yeah, that's a tough stretch.
Man, that's a, like, you know how I said last year, like, New England ran the gauntlet? That's a running the gauntlet, minus the Jets, that's a gauntlet schedule. Like how I told you, like, that's why I feel like the Patriots have a more favorable schedule, even though it's just as tough. But even to everybody going, oh, Patriots, tough schedule, I'm, like, now looking at it, like, so does Buffalo. Like, Buffalo plays Tennessee, who, I know New England plays Houston. I'd rather play Houston without DeAndre Hopkins than play the Tennessee Titans, who, you know what, have Derrick Henry, have Ryan Tannehill now, like, who were in the AFC Championship game, who almost won the AFC Championship game. Like, man, Buffalo's got their work cut out for them.
Just, obviously, like I said, who knows what their record is at that time, but looking at that stretch, I think they have to win in Buffalo against us. They have to. Looking at that.
Yeah.
And
like, against Kansas City.
If they start off the season 4-0, then it's a little different, but I think they somehow drop a game that they shouldn't. Like I said, at Miami, whatever, but... So they need to win both, probably both New York and New England. But like I said, you can analyze all day, so...
But this is why I love this game, because, like, look, it's May 23rd. We're already dissecting games that are going to happen in 5 to 6 months from now. Like, it's just, football is just, it's the any given Sunday metaphor that makes this sport so great. Because, like, look, for all we know, that game against when Buffalo goes to New York, like, if you remember last year's Buffalo Jets game, the Bills barely won because the Jets blew it. I think the Jets were up like 16-0 or something like that.
Yeah, it seemed like they were up by a good bit.
Yeah, so who knows what can happen. And then also, too, with a tough schedule like that, with the Jets and the Dolphins, like, the Jets and Dolphins, I both see max, well, the Jets, I'm going to say their max ceiling is probably 5-6. And then the Dolphins, the best I can see them doing is 6-10 or 7-9, and that's if Tua is playing and sets the world on fire. Because for all we know, Tua may not play right away.
Right, I mean, yeah. I mean, they may decide to, like, you know, just roll him in slow. So, I mean, if he's ready to go, I think they probably do just go ahead and start on week one. But they may give him, may wait till week two. I don't know.
Exactly, but they got the stuff there. I think they just need a running back.
I don't know if you want him to start his very first game against Bill Belichick. But, you know, to each of their own, I guess. But
guess who Belichick's best buddy is in the coaching? Nick Saban. Who did Nick Saban coach in college? Tua.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say this. I switched over to Miami schedule. Miami has a if they're good, they have a chance to actually be the ones in control of the division, honestly, just because they have an easier schedule. So if they're better than these teams, I don't think they're there yet. But but if they do, like, they have the stretch to where, you know, New England would need to win some of those other games for sure. But I don't think Miami's there quite yet. But
same, but it's one of those things where it's like, teach their own. But the one game, going back to Buffalo quickly, I look at is that Week 6 primetime game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Because even though if they lose, if they go out there and play really well and hold their own, people are going to look at that and go, okay, this Buffalo team's got something. But I just wanted to add that, and the fact, too, that we don't know how Josh Allen's going to be. Because if Josh Allen is missing Stephon Diggs and not making Diggs look like Stephon Diggs can be, then Buffalo's in trouble.
You're right. Yep, I agree.
Just trying to look at what else we can talk about quickly. With the schedule coming out, I was about to talk about the schedule, but then there's some news to drop this week. So The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, fantastic for anyone who's listening who hasn't watched it yet. But next year, ESPN is releasing The Man in the Arena, the Tom Brady docuseries. I know he kind of left us brokenhearted and he's with Tampa Bay now, but man, I cannot wait for that documentary to come out next year with ESPN.
Yeah, I'm a Brady homer. I mean, I'm Brady till the day I die. Even if there's some wounds still not healed from him leaving us, but however you want to look at it, him not being with the Pats anymore. The only thing I I'm saying is like, I just wish they would wait till he's done. Like, I feel like it's not going to be received well as well. I mean, it's, you know, like, you got the people, you know, like the Lorenzos, of course, don't care. But it's like, you know, I think that it would be received. Like, with Michael Jordan, he's not playing right now, and it's been a while. So I think there was, like, you know, who knows the kind of hate that he, I mean, I don't, there, Twitter wasn't around. But I wonder, like, because people don't like winners, ultimately. That's, I mean, you can, you know, you can bring the cheating up and everything like that, but when it boils down to it, they didn't win, you would literally not care. So, I mean, that's just, I think that's the biggest thing, that's because it's, they're still, you know, it's still, a, you know, Brady's still, like, who knows, like, if they, if he goes out and doesn't do anything with the Bucks and retires, then, you know, okay, it'll be perfect timing, I guess, but I don't think that's going to happen. So, I'll, of course, love it. I mean, it's going to be, you know, unless he just bashes the Pats, which is not going to happen, so.
You nailed that one on the head. The only thing I got to say about it, too, is just, like, it's just going to be good to see the inside, but at the same time, too, I wished, unless he announces, like, at the end of it, hey, I'm done, this is it, I'm retired. That's the only reason I can think of for it coming out now. One thing I want to point out quickly is, I don't, for any of you who follow the NFL on Instagram, I guess they decided to do a bunch of simulations for the season. And right now, they got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going 8-0 to start, which I don't buy for a second.
8-0? Let me look at their schedule.
Like, they have the Saints to start. And the prediction was, oh, the Bucs are going to win 17-0. And I'm looking at that like, you really expect me to think that Drew Brees is going to have a shit game against the Buccaneers, who he plays often? No.
They could beat everybody else. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they went, like, 7-1. I can't imagine they start 8-0, though. God, they have a super freaking soft schedule. I'm sorry, but they do. So, you have at New Orleans versus Carolina, which Carolina's kind of a wild card, and it's a divisional rival. You know, so there's things there, but still. Then you play Carolina, and that should be a win. Denver, win. Chargers should be a win. I don't know if, like, depends on what Herbert's doing, I guess. At Chicago, they're a hot mess. Green Bay, that could be one. You know, it's at home though. And then at Las Vegas, that should be a win. And then at the Giants, then you go back to New Orleans, or you play New Orleans again at home. Then you play Carolina. Then you play the Rams. Rams should be an easy. Then you got Kansas City, which should be a very interesting game. I can't why that. Well, they probably made the schedule before, but still, that should have been a prime time game. But you know, it's too early in the season, too, probably. It's mid-season, but still. Then you got Minnesota, which who knows without Diggs and stuff how they'll be. And then you have Atlanta, Detroit, and Atlanta. Like, I think the Bucks are definitely playoff bound. Like, there's just no way they can't.
I still
Brady's
think this...
gonna have to, Brady's got to play pretty bad to not win like 11 games.
I still pick the Saints to win that division overall, just because I believe New Orleans is a better overall team.
Oh, I agree too. I still think they win it too, but I'm just saying like they don't really get a lot of tests outside of Kansas City.
Yeah, so. And the Saints
and Green Bay. Like I said, I guess I'll still give them credit.
The one thing I want to say though about the schedule is the NFL said it's a lucky coincidence, but if you look at the Patriots schedule and the Bucs schedule, only Week 15 and Week 17 do the Patriots and the Buccaneers play at the same time. Like, the only games that I really care to watch with the Bucs is Week 1 when they play New Orleans just to see what he's like. You know that game's going to get viewership because everyone's going to want to see Brady. New team, everything like that. I'm saying this right now, though. Brady on a new team, if that stadium is full Week 1, I do not expect him to have a fun time out there against that Saints.
Oh, it's going to be... Very, very, very interesting. That's a tough game to start. But then they can. I mean, even there'll be so many narratives. I mean, if they win, that's a huge win, obviously. But if they lose, Brady will probably have a bad game and then knock off 6-7 straight. So I don't think that game says that's still early in the season. So to get that, I will say to get that at New Orleans out of the way early is probably going to benefit them more than hurt them.
I think it's games like the Kansas City game and the New Orleans game in Tampa Bay are the ones that are going to be the bigger narratives just because of the timing.
Right. I think by that point you'll know where Tampa's at, and you'll know where New Orleans is, of course, and as well. So
exactly. I'm just trying to think here. Is there anything else you want to cover today?
I think that's it. I mean, like I said, you can kind of we can schedule talk and game talk all the time, but that's going to change every time we get on the podcast. So
yeah.
I think we covered pretty much all we can.
Exactly. And also, guys, sorry for the delay for episodes. It's just, you know what, there wasn't a whole lot of news, but I'd rather record now when, you know what, we covered so much from the schedule, the little Patriots talk, as always, when it's just Phil and I. We also, like, the Rooney Rule stuff, the free agency stuff. The only other thing I want to say right now quickly is with the, just going back to college football quickly. What was I going to say, college football? Is there any team right now besides because everyone is saying how Clemson's going to make the national championship and probably, or not make it, but have a good shot. Because if I had to predict the playoffs right now, I would say Clemson, Ohio State, an SEC team, and probably whoever wins ends up winning the Big 12.
That's probably Bama still. Bama's still going to be good.
Bama will just find a way. They'll find a way with either Mac Jones or I don't know who their other quarterback is. But the one team I'm looking at right now as a dark horse is the Florida Gators for the SEC.
I was going to say, like, yeah, if it's not Bama, it'd be Florida. Florida's supposed to be really good this year.
Yeah.
So that would be the other team that I would say.
If Kyle Trask can take that next step and be a better quarterback, also, too, they have to beat Georgia.
Oh, well, yeah, that thing, you ain't getting nowhere if you can't do that. That's for sure.
Yeah, because that's a game I'm looking forward to is Week 3, Georgia, Bama in Tuscaloosa. Yeah, that's just all I wanted to add. But anyway, Phil, man, I got to say, it was great talking to you here. Another episode, I just got to look this up. It's been a while. I got to make sure I get the numbers right now. Episode number 17.
17.
Yes. Jake DeLome episode. Shout out to Phil in the Carolinas there. Because Patriot Award 17 didn't come to the top of my mind, and I saw 17, and I just said, oh, fuck it, Jake DeLome.
The only thing I can think of was Dobson. Wasn't Aaron Dobson 17?
Aaron Dobson. I think so.
That's the only one I can think of, but yeah. Philip Rivers 17.
Yeah. Oh, Philip Rivers, yeah.
The
Philip Rivers and his gosh dang it's and all that stuff on the sidelines reminded me of my good buddy Phil Nightmare 10 here. Next episode is the Peyton Manning episode, episode number 18.
We're just going to skip 18 and go 19.
Okay. We'll do it 19 with an asterisk and just write it's actually episode 18. We just don't want to mention that number. But anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening. Like the podcast, like us on YouTube, follow for more football content. We're just going to keep on pumping it out as we get closer and closer to the season. And hopefully there is a season. And like we say, keep on flattening the curve and stay safe because you know what? We'll get through this together.
That's right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
Do, did, will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.